Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it bad? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed or take a bullet for being free? Screaming what the hell at my TV for telling me, yeah. Am I the only one not brainwashed, making my way through the land of the lost, who sees it as it is and worries about his kids as they try to undo all the things he did? Am I the only one who can't take no more screaming? If you don't like it, there's a freaking door. This ain't the freedom we've been fighting for. It was something more, yeah, it was something more. Am I the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue? Burning on the ground, another statue coming down in a town near you. Watching the threads of all glory come undone. Not the only one. I can't be the only one.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
The Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the Don of Dissenting Discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all, good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. Vito, our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-poking American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to be here. And I got a report. We have a new listener, very high profile. an admiral, no less, a four-star admiral, Rachel Levine, is our newest and most high, one of our high-profile listeners. We want to welcome her to the, I mean him to the show.
He
is a cross-dresser, the highest-ranking cross-dresser ever. So welcome, I guess. And he's so high-profile that he actually outranks General Patton. So put that in your panties.
Yeah, and for someone who's never served in the military, that's incredible, huh? So it's symbolism over substance with the radical left, with the progressive, the pollution of progressive politics. It's symbolism over substance. Get some dude to dress up as a girl and then go ahead and adorn that person. Well, you know what? Just like Biden, induct that person in and install that person as an admiral, a four-star admiral, and now, you know, that's what the left runs with, and, you know, Wikipedia is all excited, and everybody's excited. So less than 0.5% of the population is transgender, and now the politically correct thing to do is to go with symbolism over substance.
Well, I prefer to use the name cross-dresser rather than transgender, because it's a man cross-dressing as a woman. And I think it shows total disrespect for all the officers that are fighting like hell to make it up through the ranks. And here you've got a cross-dresser at four-star admiral, flag officer rank, who never served a day in his life.
Yep.
And
symbolism
horrible
over
address.
Substance. And horrible in dress, too. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This whole thing, we're being duped in so many ways, and this is just another one. I mean, we've been duped with regards to the sexuality. You know, I didn't tell you, but I sat in for Annie, the deplorable radio chick on Southern Sense Talk Radio on Friday. She had a sudden illness, but she's doing well, and she's back on her feet. And I sat in with her for her, along with Curtis. So it was a interesting show, good show. Had a couple of good guests, and thank Annie, and I hope she's on our way to a speedy recovery, the poor thing.
Yes.
Sue's mom is back home, which is good, and she's being treated. Apparently her mom is getting the same drugs that President Trump received, the same therapeutics as President Trump was treated with, so she's doing well. And then on the PGA news, the Zozo Championship was held in Japan, and Japan's own Hideki Matsuyama, the reigning Masters champion, won, I think, by one shot over America's Cameron Tringali.
Mm-hmm.
Hideki Matsuyama shot a final round 65, and really, even when he kind of got out of control, he always recovered, and it was amazing. The guy played absolutely fantastic. So congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama for winning a PGA event on his homeland of Japan. Kind of cool.
Yeah, that was a great tournament. That was a tough-looking course. That hole number 16, you go to the left, it just rolls you right into the water. Even if you're hitting the green, it's brutal.
It really is. I mean, that was a brutal hole, I got to say. How many guys were hitting it in the water all day long? I mean, we must have saw what, about 8 to 10 golf balls were in the water at least. So, and congrats to the Atlanta Braves. I haven't watched any baseball, but congrats to them for beating the Los Angeles Dodgers. And you know what's kind of cool about that is two things. One is the Dodgers won 105 or 106 games during the regular season. I mean, they and San Francisco were the two hottest teams. The Braves won 88 games, and they beat the second place Phillies by 6 games. So the Braves won 88 games, and here it is: they beat the LA Dodgers in 6 games. I think they won. What was it, report 4-2, 4-1? I don't know. Anyways, they won yesterday to advance in the World Series against the Houston Astros. Now, I'm sure Major League Baseball is freaking out, and they're probably trying to figure out how they can move the World Series to a blue state or to two blue states, because now you have Texas hosting the World Series. And then you have the ever woke Atlanta, the racist Atlanta, Georgia, where the MLB, Major League Baseball, had to adopt a woke policy and move, cancel the cancel culture, canceled the All-Star game, stealing it right out from underneath the feet of the Atlanta Braves, and had to move it to what, North Carolina or some neutral state. So now, are they going? Is Major League Baseball going to allow the World Series to be played in Atlanta, Georgia? I mean, I would bet you Stacey Abrams is so outraged. She's sitting right now at a table in front of a buffet at the Golden Corral. I mean, she's probably that upset.
Well, I didn't see any masks. I watched a couple of the games. There weren't that. The whole place wasn't masked up by a long shot. So maybe they just let it all go, because COVID does not go to football games or baseball games or super stadiums.
Or super spreading birthdays.
That and riots too. Riots.
Oh yeah.
No COVID,
right.
And riots.
Antifa riots, BLM riots. That's right. They're all immune from the COVID, and illegal aliens who are unvaccinated and infected are also immune from
right.
the COVID. Yep, from the China
yep,
virus.
4,000 coming our way, and none of them are wearing masks. So masks suck. Masks don't work.
It's just, isn't it? It's absolutely incredible. I mean, we are being so duped by this administration, by this political regime in Washington, D.C. And, you know, as Holger said, he doesn't like the term establishment. And when you think about it, it's probably right that you don't use the word establishment, but we're certainly being duped by the corrupt cabal in Washington, D.C. I mean, it's just incredible what we're seeing. Huh?
Oh, God, they're doing something. Where else do you get a cross-dressing four-star general, admiral? Holy
yeah.
crap. I wouldn't hire a cross-dresser to be a salesperson for me because they couldn't go in. It's just not good business. I got nothing against them, but, hey, you can't be a cross-dresser and go out in the public and sell and be the face of a company.
No, it just doesn't.
Is that wrong? Well, I don't.
No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong. You know, I mean, why is it that you have less than a 0.5% of cross dressers, and now they have to dictate 100% of the policy? You know, it's just like when the Democrat Party is in the minority, they dictate to the minority what the majority, what the narrative should be. And then when they're in the majority, they tell you what you should believe and what you should think, and that your opinion doesn't count because you're in the minority. But yet, you know, so now we're at the same point. It's like symbolism over substance, and Mr. Levine gets to, you know, a four-star admiral. I mean, this is just, it's nonsense, utter nonsense.
Yep. That's why I'm making it a point to never use the word transgender again. I'm going to use the proper pronoun cross-dresser.
I'll
let everybody
that
know how that goes next week. I'll see how it goes. See if it's accepted or rejected.
Lava from La Palmas Cumbre Vieja volcano destroyed over 2,120 buildings. Lava continued to spew from Cumbre Vieja volcano on La Palma on Friday, October 22nd, while the molten rock flowed across more than 3.3 square miles. According to Copernicus Emergency Management Services, the lava destroyed more than 2,120 buildings by October 21st. Up to 50 homes near the town of La Laguna were evacuated on October 20th as a lava flow advanced through neighborhood, according to local emergency service. Homes and businesses in the area were swallowed up by the lava. So they got a really bad issue with the volcano eruption. And I wonder if that's going to trigger any other volcano eruptions, you know, Greenland, or is it Iceland that has the volcano? And then, of course, you got Italy's got the volcano. You got the volcanoes in
in the Pacific Rim, and this is going to be interesting.
Well, what about all those people that lost their homes? Because home insurance is not a standard thing in these foreign countries.
Yeah.
I'll bet you over 50% of them weren't even insured. I'd even go as far as 75%.
Well, maybe Czar Biden can bail them out. I mean, he's bailing out all other illegal aliens. I mean, why not? You know, maybe and then, you know, they're going to blame climate change, so the United States is going to fork over even more money for the climate change ruse.
Can you imagine? Oh, how'd you lose your house? Was there a flood, a hurricane? No, I had a lava flow going through my living room.
Man, I tell you, that would be incredible, absolutely incredible.
I was watching some of the footage a few weeks ago, and they had a lava flow going into somebody's pool. And it was...
Really?
Gosh, I don't know. Oh, it was... The footage was cool, but it was like watching a train wreck, because all I could think of, oh, my God, these people's house, all... Everything, their whole lives just got sucked up by molten lava. What are the odds of that?
So would that be considered a real hot tub?
Literally, a steam bath.
A steam bath. Oh, my God.
You're not very sensitive to their pain, are you?
I am the sensitive guy.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of sensitive... So it looks like there's a pretty tight governor's race in Virginia, which I believe the election is going to be on Tuesday, November 2nd. Now, I'm not sure if people in Virginia, especially the leftists, can understand that, but it's the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November. And I know it's probably a shocker to many of the liberals and the lefties in Virginia, but November 2nd is Election Day, and it pits the Republican candidate Glenn Youngkin versus the establishment Democrat swamp dweller and former Democrat National Communist Committee Chair Terry McAuliffe. McAuliffe is also a Clinton soldier, and he was a former governor of Virginia. The race is important for the people of Virginia because it's to replace Ralph Blackface Northam. And it seems that the socialists, the communists, the Marxists really enjoy Virginia. This gubernatorial election is important as candidate Terry McAuliffe espouses and is a proponent of big government, telling the citizens, telling the people, telling the parents to sit down and shut up. You don't tell the state education body what to teach your kids. The government will tell you what they will teach and indoctrinate your kids. And McAuliffe represents a communist establishment, the dictatorial Democrat Party. And it's time to reject these radical anti-Virginia, these radical anti-American Democrats, these radical anti-constitutional Democrat demons. There is no place for anyone as deceitful and dishonest as the Democrat Communist Party any longer. Anti-constitutional Democrats such as Terry McAuliffe and a D.C. insider who doesn't care about the people of Virginia. McAuliffe made it clear he is a big government tyrant with an oppressive agenda. The parents of Virginia, you do not tell the government what to teach your children. Whether it's the left-wing Marxist socialist agenda of critical race theory or gay and lesbian transgender cross-dressing agenda or the oppressive government edicts of Virginians who must obey the China virus concerns. We, the government of Virginia, will dictate the agenda to you. You, the people of Virginia, will be submitting to the McAuliffe government, his radical anti-American education agenda in all Virginia schools, all of them. Now, this under a Terry McAuliffe administration, and don't forget it. And you know, McAuliffe campaign is getting nervous when they have to prance out the chief Marxist of the Democrat Communist Party, the Marxist-in-Chief Barack Hussein Sator Obama. Now, the opponent, which is Glenn Youngkin, is a businessman. He won the Republican gubernatorial nomination in May. Youngkin was the CEO of the Carlyle Group. He stepped down in September of 2020 to run for governor. Youngkin is 54 years old. He's married and the father of four children. The man spent $5.5 million of his own money on his primary election and campaign bid. So he's not beholden to anybody. Give Mr. Youngkin credit. He declined to even attend the Virginia Bar Association debate as the Bar Association tapped left-winger Judy Woodruff as debate moderator. So imagine someone standing up against the Bias and Clinton machine. Now, Woodruff is part of that national propaganda radio team, NPR. And now, I found this out yesterday. I didn't realize that Glenn Youngkin was 6 feet, 7 inches tall. So you're not going to get anything over him. Get it? No. But I hope the people of Virginia will smarten up and vote for Mr. Youngkin, Mr. Glenn Youngkin. Today it's being reported the governor's race is a tie, and McAuliffe's once dominating lead is gone. And, you know, you let McAuliffe talk, and you understand where his radical mentality is. This guy doesn't want parents to get involved in their children's education. Telling parents of Virginia to sit down and shut up. Now, don't take anything for granted with the Democrat Communist Party elections. The Democrat Party are cheaters, thieves, and liars. And I say reject the status quo, the radical Democrat Communist Party regime. Reject the Clinton machine. All those radical soldiers of the Clintonistas, including Terry McAuliffe. Vote for Glenn Youngkin. The future of Virginia and your child's education in Virginia depends on it. Vote for Glenn Youngkin.
Yep,
that's
amazing.
It's
46-46. Yeah, it's a dead even tie. So for all our listeners in Virginia, get out and vote because every vote counts.
It really does. Every vote does count. And it's truly important for the people of Virginia to get out there and vote. I mean, you know, it's time. It's enough with this red and blue. You know, it's time to go with somebody who understands free enterprise, who understands capitalism, and who understands that the education of your child is important and it's not to be dictated by the government. And for someone to say, to tell parents to sit down and shut up, okay, and to take what the government gives you, you know, that's cause in itself to reject that individual. And it's time that they reject these left-wing radicals.
Yep. That government, that's an important seat in your state, or else you're going to have more like what's happening in Loudoun County with the bathroom rape that school board covered up. They should be in jail. Now,
that's
a good
right.
Governor can take care of that. They can lead, kind of like DeSantis in Florida. What he's doing is he is leading Florida to success. So, very
yes,
important.
He is. Yes, he is. Yep. You know, and that's the thing. You know, Governor Blackface Northam. You know, he's been a pretty weak leader, and it's time to
mm-hmm.
for a new direction. You know, it's time to start rejecting all this nonsense. You had the Loudoun County School Board who lied to the parents. They knew, they covered up, and they still lied, and now they got caught with their pants down, and it's time to get rid of all these people. You know, enough of this radical left-wing agenda. Enough.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of it.
Yep, because we're the underdogs. We're like Illinois and Iowa State. 9 overtimes. We come back and win. Iowa State knocks off a top-10 team. The underdog comes up and wins because we're the underdogs. So
yes,
we can win.
This one's really important. So I just got a text from Holger with regards to the volcano emissions. And this is important because all of this green scheme and this green scam, it's all, you know, we know we're being duped. So a volcano emits 16,000 tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere in one day. That's the same amount emitted by 1.5 million automobiles in a year. So it just goes to show that, you know, this climate change scam is a scam. It's sunspots and solar flares are what dictates the climate and any changes in the climate. Man it's a minute fraction, 1/1,000,000,000th of 1% is what the cause is that man does, if that much, when in fact it's Mother Earth that causes the most damage. You know, it's just like the Sunni and Shia killings. it's Muslim on Muslim violence that is the biggest thing. I don't know how I brought that together, but it just that's what came to my mind. But a volcano emits 16,000 tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. So who are they going to blame for that? Are they going to ask the American taxpayer to fork over more money for their climate change scam? You know, are they going to go back to Mother Earth and say, you owe us, you know, $16 billion? Are they going to go to Spain now? Because Spain, since Spain owns, I guess what you could say owns the land where the Cumbre Vieja volcano erupted, does Spain now contribute more into the global climate change scam? You know, since it's European nation, this is part of Europe, does Europe now fork over another $1 trillion of wealth to the global scam initiative? I'm sorry, the global green scam. I'm sorry, the global green scheme initiative. Pretty bad. So what do you think about what happened with Alec Baldwin killing that one individual and injuring another on the set? As he discharged a prop gun.
Well, it wasn't a prop gun. That was the thing. He is handling that gun, and he is an anti-gun fascist. So he knows a lot about guns. He knows how much he hates them, and he should have been responsible and double-checked to make sure that gun was not loaded with live ammunition. So it's on him. I think he needs to take responsibility for the death. I would take it as an involuntary manslaughter, and I think that he should just plead guilty and then mercy on the court. And I think they'll let him go with an ankle monitor or something.
For those that don't know, an accident on a set of Alec Baldwin movie Rust at the Bonanza Creek Ranch on the outskirts of Santa Fe, New Mexico, sent two members of the film crew to the hospital, one of them a woman who died. A press release from the Santa Fe Sheriff's Department said deputies were dispatched to the set around 1:50 p.m. local time, and the call indicated that an individual had been shot. Investigators said the prop firearm was used during filming when it was discharged by Alec Baldwin, hitting his director of photography, Halina Hutchins, and director Joel Souza. Detectives are investigating how and what type of projectile was discharged. According to the media release, one shooting victim, 42-year-old female, was transported via helicopter to the University of New Mexico Hospital, where she later died. And the second victim, 42-year-old male, was transported by ambulance to Christus St. Vincent Hospital, where he underwent emergency treatment. A production spokesperson from Rust Movie Production LLC told Deadline in a statement Thursday, the accident involved the misfire of a prop gun with blanks, and that production had been halted for the time being. So, Al, was it confirmed that it was actually a live, it was not a prop gun indeed?
Well, it could fire real bullets, so that would mean that it's not a prop gun.
Gotcha.
And usually, to his defense, they should have a safety officer on the set, which is standard operating procedure in movies. They have a safety officer who makes sure that the guns are props or not using blanks. But apparently this girl who was their safety officer was not either incompetent or just screwed up, and resulting in the two deaths. So, yeah, there needs to be a huge investigation into this.
Yeah, I read that.
Guns
big...
don't kill people. Alec Baldwin kills people.
You know something? It's funny you say that because our friend Audrey Russo on Twitter, you know, she said something similar to that, or she basically said that Alec Baldwin should be held accountable. And some leftist came back and called her the C word. And it's like, so here you have, she's trying to have a rational conversation. She was not rude. She actually gave a reasonable answer. And all it was taking would be a debate. So then when leftists get caught with their pants down, they can't debate. So then they called her the C word. I mean, it's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
You try calling Rachel Levine the C word.
Yeah. Well, what do you call it? What do you call it?
I don't know.
Oh,
I got a little more information on that governor's race with Glenn Youngkin.
Oh, go ahead.
Are you done with this story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what's real interesting with it is that a lawsuit was filed last Wednesday in the Circuit Court of Fairfax County, Virginia. Get this. Against the county registrar and three members of the Fairfax County Electoral Board exposed election officials' ongoing disregard for state election law and the plaintiff's concise 10-page complaint, the Virginia Institute for Public Policy, a public policy organization dedicated to election integrity, alleged that, quote, the defendants are accepting and improving applications for absentee and mail-in ballots that do not include information required by Virginia law, namely the last four digits of the applicant's Social Security number. So what I found very interesting about this is exactly what happened during the last presidential election. They had big problems with these ballots. People were just turning in hundreds, if not thousands of them, and they couldn't match the ballot to an individual, but they went ahead and counted them anyway. And that was one of the big beefs with that last election being unfair. And we saw that in Arizona and Georgia and Virginia, and we're seeing it again in this race. But if you read the media, it's not happening. They're not even reporting this. And it took this Virginia Institute for Public Policy to file a court case. Now, granted, the court case probably is going to be over till after the election, but still. This is a big deal.
It is a big deal because it actually speaks volumes as to what the Democrat Communist Party is now engaged in, and they're now engaged in election fraud. It's no holds barred. They will win any election any way they can, and when you have something as high profile as this Democrat. As this governor's race in Virginia, the Democrat Communist Party will make sure that they will win at all costs. And they will throw the racist card out. They will throw oppression and they will throw suppression out. But you said that there was a 13-page concise filing by this group in Fairfax County. It is not racist to ask someone for an ID to prove who they are. If you want election integrity, And you know, to use integrity and fairness in the same sentence as the word Democrat is also a joke, because the Democrat Party does not believe in fairness. As long as they control the narrative, as long as they control government, that's fair to them, and it doesn't really matter what means they use to get that. And if it means cheating at the ballot box, so be it. If it means committing fraud at the ballot box, so be it. And this is what we're seeing today. I mean, how is it that it's racist to ask someone to show who they are? I mean, the Democratic Communist Party at their convention every 4 years, you have to show proof of who you are. You have to show an ID. You must wear that ID around your neck. They give you a lanyard with your name on it to show who you are and to prove who you are. So you need that to get into a Democrat Communist convention, but you don't need that to go and vote. And you want to talk about election integrity? You want to talk about fairness? I mean, you know, you have a right to vote in America if you are legally able to vote. And, you know, if you're a convicted felon, you have lost your civil rights to vote. And you must earn that right back. There has to be some consequence for your action. If you're an illegal alien, you don't get to vote. The operative word is illegal alien. So for the Democrat Communist Party to lament about fairness, about integrity in elections, is an absolute joke. They care nothing about integrity in elections. They care nothing about fairness. Because if you really cared about integrity, you'd demand that a person show who they are. Prove who you are. There's nothing wrong in that. You cash a check at a bank. They ask you who you are. Or they want to see ID. You go through TSA to get on a fucking plane in America. You must show an ID. It must be a valid ID. Now it has to have the right symbols. And the TSA clerk sits there and he rotates your driver's license to see who you are. You must show who you are. And you mean to tell me to vote for people who are making laws that impact you and me every day of our lives? You mean to tell me that you can't have enough integrity to demand voter ID, some sort of identification to prove who you are? And then you have the audacity to claim it's racist, that you're asking someone for an ID? That's crap. It's absolute crap. I don't know. What's your take on it, Al?
Well, now they're demanding a COVID card, so if you can show that, but you can't show it an ID. Now, what's probably going to happen? The article goes on pretty much just to say that the case will probably be heard this week in court, but what they expect to happen, they don't expect the ruling will go against them. So what's going to happen is that these election officials in Virginia will have to only accept absentee ballots at the last four numbers of the Social Security. But what's missing from this story is that you have election officials who are breaking the law, required a lawsuit to get them to follow the rule of law, and they're still going to keep their positions. Now, if there was a governor that wasn't already corrupt, the governor would fire those people and bring in new people who will follow the rule of law, but they're not even going to get their hands slapped.
No.
And meanwhile, this company, this group, this interest group has spent probably tens of thousands on filing this lawsuit. And so, yeah, that's a big problem, the fact that these people are still in office or will be, regardless of how the lawsuit goes.
And you know, the sad part of this whole situation is really simple. This is not about Republican or Democrat or Libertarian. This is just about honesty, and it's about fairness, and it is about integrity. And it doesn't matter what side of the political aisle that you sit on. The issue is it's the same. Just show who you are and show proof who you are. If you can't prove who you are, you can't vote in the election. It doesn't count. If you go to the wrong precinct and you're demanding a vote, you're in the wrong precinct. Take some personal responsibility. Matter of fact, personal responsibility is that the first Tuesday in November following the first Monday, in this case, November the 2nd is election day. Just take some responsibility and vote. That's all. It's really simple. It's been that way for 200 years. It's really simple. It's not that complicated. But the Democrat Communist Party, they want to play the victim card everywhere you turn. Everything is racist if they don't believe in it. Everything's hate speech. Everything is, you know, it's this and it's that. You're fat. No, they are the Democrat Communist Party are the true fascists. They are truly dishonest. They are truly anti-constitutional, and you know what? They're anti-Americans in my book.
Well, yeah, they're not following the rule of law, and there's no consequences when they break it. Democrats cheat, and they're okay with it because even if they get caught, nothing's going to happen. And if they can turn the election, people are going to forget about it anyway, and they got away scot-free because stealing, lying, and cheating is okay for the Marxist Democrats. In fact, that is their modus, their MO, and how they operate.
Right.
There's a big problem with that, or should be. And the Republicans, where are they? Where are they, Vito? They're silent, as always.
And you know why?
And that's what makes me madder. That makes me madder than hell.
But Al, this is where the brilliance of the Democrat Communist Party comes into play. It's really brilliant. Just like the Islamic movement with the Muslim Brotherhood, anytime that you talk about the Muslims in a fashion or Islam that they don't agree with, you're Islamophobic, you're hate speech. And right away, the Democrat Communist Party invokes racist, white national, and white supremacy. Now, that the white supremacy and white nationalist term evolved during President Trump's tenure, and that was also to demonize President Trump and then demonize any of his supporters and followers, including Black Americans too. You know, Larry Elder was called a white supremacist, and Larry Elder would say, "Do you realize I'm Black?" And it didn't matter because that's the mindlessness of the shallow left wing in America, the shallow Democrat chimpanzees, let's say. You know, they just follow what the Democrat National Communist Party tells them to say, and you're a racist, you're a white nationalist, you're a white supremacist, even if you're black like Larry Elder. So now they have a situation where we can remedy the entire voter fraud issue. We can remedy it really simple. It's no mystery. The first Tuesday following the first Monday in November, which has been the day for the last 150 years, you go and vote. Okay. If you can't make it that day, if you can't make it in person, you can request an absentee ballot. But you have to show proof of who you are. You're certainly, remember, every vote counts. My vote should count. That was the Democrat Communist Party mantra. Oh, my vote, every vote should count. My vote should count. Everyone's vote should count, right? And they were taken away, and they're stealing my vote. And then all of a sudden, the narrative became, it's a racist. It's racism if you're asking someone for an identity. No, it's not. You're sitting there now, and you're asking me for a vaccine passport to show that I've gotten a China virus vaccine, and I can't go to work if I don't show that I've got a vaccine passport. And you mean to tell me that I can go and vote now without showing any type of identification and verification? The hypocrisy of the Democrat Communist Party is incredible. It's absolutely, truly incredible what we're seeing today happen in America. And it's all been put on fast track since January 20th, 2021. I'm firmly convinced now that the Democrat Communist Party does not want to happen what happened in 2016 with the election of Donald Trump. It actually shocked the hell out of them, because there was no way, shape, or form this crass individual who had no political experience other than using and abusing some of these politicians. He saw right through them, so he played their game, but they had no idea that he would even beat Hillary Rodham Clinton, one of the most corrupt women in politics to this day. And the Democrat Communist Party is making sure it doesn't happen again. So now they've employed all kinds of effective policies, or I should say infective policies, like election fraud, which was mastered on November 3rd, 2020. And now they're going to employ it again in key states. Let's hope the people of Virginia come out in droves and reject Terry McAuliffe. Let's hope they come out and they support Glenn Youngkin. You know, even though he's got an R after his name, he's a free enterprise guy. He's a capitalist. He believes in capitalism. And he believes in the United States of America. Hell, he funded his own campaign. You know, instead you got whores like Terry McAuliffe, and then he brings in the chief Marxist of them all, Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, because they know how bad he's performing right now. I can't find the actual quote from Terry McAuliffe, but during the debate, he told the parents to sit down and shut up and accept what the government tells you how to teach your children. You don't tell the government of Virginia how to teach your child. That indoctrination is left up to the progressive pollution in the state of Virginia. Well, that mentality, of course, is infecting all 50 states. Well, all 57 states since Obama was campaigning for Terry McAuliffe. You know, enough is enough.
Yeah, Obama. Boy, I've realized how much I haven't missed him. He was so obnoxious up there. So he got lit up out of a cannon, blaming everybody, blaming Trump, blaming Republicans, creating, I don't know, the Democrats create all this chaos, and then he's blaming the Republicans for what they created.
Yeah.
He's so damn good at it. That's what I hate.
You know, and like Bigfoot last week, you know, we couldn't find a Nancy Pelosi sound bite. He says, you know, I don't want to hear from Nancy Pelosi. So you listen to Obama for about 10 seconds, and you just realize what kind of a con man he is, what kind of a chiseler. You know, that smooth-talking, you know, Kenyan who sits there, and he talks about how the Republicans are creating this false narratives. What? The Republicans? I mean, you guys, the Democrat Communist Party has co-opted the media. The DNC media pretty much dictates what's being put out there. I mean, even Chris Wallace yesterday, I saw the clips today, Chris Wallace is saying how Baghdad Bob Jensacki is one of the best press secretaries ever. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Al, I was stalling the floor. Well, let me circle back to that. And Chris Wallace now, you want to talk about somebody who's indentured to the swamp in Washington, D.C., who's part of that corrupt cabal establishment? Baghdad Bob Jensacki is actually the smartest or the best press secretary ever. Yeah, she's spewing the propaganda and the lies, and she does it. Let me circle back to that. She does it well.
You think? I think yeah. She sucks, quite frankly. Like you said, there's a drinking game now that's gone viral across the country. It's called the Jensacki drinking game. Because every time she says you have to take a drink. And she says, if you pull up, go to YouTube and pull up a 2-minute clip and start counting how many times she says and usually you're up to about 8 or 9 in a 2-minute clip. And throughout the whole press conference of 45 minutes, you could be up to 70 to 80 ums being used.
It's I saw your
annoying.
Post on Twitter.
She's annoying. She's snarky. Now, McEnany, she was the best press secretary.
Oh.
She was
good-looking, yes.
Smart. Yeah, and she would answer questions from everybody. There wasn't just a one Ducey who was the only person who would ask a probing question. She'd get it from all sides. She was the best. Chris Wallace, I don't know. I think he's a Rachel Levine. I think he's a woman dressed up as a man.
First of all, I saw your post on Twitter about the drinking game, so I tried it, and I went through a bottle of Jack Daniels. That's the last time I tried that. So
I'm
done. Yeah, it was fun, all right.
And you get drunk.
Mm-hmm. That's so much bad. And then to sit there and say that Baghdad Bob Jensacki is one of the best press secretaries. So this is her during – so Peter Gutierrez, can you please tell us why bubbling Biden says – well, Peter, this is – and then she has her little binder in front of her. You ever notice how the binder – and she's flipping through the well, you know, will President Biden ever ask a question, you know, take questions from the press? Well, he does, and she's got her.
Oh, he does that quite regularly throughout the week. We didn't see it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the funniest thing. And today, you know, you had blowhard Biden in New Jersey. He was giving some teleprompter speech on some nonsense of on education, and he's telling people that free education has been around since the 1800s. So, you know, I got to thinking about that. It's like, really, this is really cool how the pollution of progressive politics. I was reading Bigfoot. Meanwhile, drinking in response to Jensacki's gives you alcohol poisoning. That's exactly right, Big. So you got the blowhard Biden was in New Jersey giving his teleprompter speech on education, and during his speech he mentioned, you know, he read from the teleprompter about free education has been around since the 1800s, 1850s, 1870s, 1880s, something like 130 years. And I got to thinking, it's like, that's a really, really interesting way for the progressives, the Marxists, the communists to frame that. And it sounds really good when you're speaking to kids, right? Let's indoctrinate the children. Free education has been around since 1880s. Education is not free. You know, your parents pay dearly with real estate taxes. There are real estate taxes that are assessed to your homestead. And there's a separate millage rate for school taxes. and you pay your sales taxes in the state, and part of that sales tax is earmarked by state budgets for education. Then you have the U.S. government who confiscates your money in a form of taxes and then appropriates it to the free education. And I got to thinking, you know, the federal government created the Department of Education in 1979 under the socialist Jimmy Carter's reign. Wait a minute. Education's not free. How do you fund the Department of Education? Education is not free. And did you know that in fiscal year 2021, do you know how much the U.S. Department of Education budget is? You want to talk about a free education? Take a guess, Al. How much would you say the budget is for the U.S. Department of Education now that education is, that education is free in America while you go through elementary school and high school?
$100 billion.
You're close. And it's $66.6 billion is what the budget is. $67 billion budget for a free education. That's just the federal government. Now you've got 50 other departments of education in individual states across America. The education budget, I believe, in the state of Florida is something like half of the budget, close to 40% of $20 billion. Like $10 billion goes to education. So you've got a $67 billion budget in the federal government for free education. So you see how the progressives, they skew all of these talking points. They indoctrinate the children into thinking that education is free. Now they want to give free preschool. Then they want to give free college. And look how the government has indoctrinated the youths from the time they're born until they're 25, 26, and 27 years old. And then they'll think about something else that's going to be free. It's insane.
That's ridiculous.
It really is.
What they need to do is make colleges cheaper, and they need to make community colleges cheaper, because you have provosts of big universities making upwards of a half to close to $1 million a year. And it's based on how much money they bring in. And the tuitions, a student, gosh, if you get a master's, you could be in debt now. I mean, doctors, you're in debt now for 8 to 10 years, and maybe you can pay off your student loans. How come
right.
There's no clamoring to have to force universities to lower their tuition?
That's a great question.
They're Marxists to begin with. It's a cabal.
Well, first of all, they need to make $15 an hour. So that's important that these – and so Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, when she was supposedly teaching at Harvard University, she was making somewhere in the vicinity of $300,000 to $400,000 a year. Her husband was making another $400,000 a year. So I think maybe she was making $300,000. They were making like $700,000 a year at Harvard University. Mm-hmm. What the hell would the tuition be to go to Harvard if you're paying someone paying a couple $700,000 a year? No wonder why these kids are in debt up to their ass. And you've got the left wing, the propagandists of the Communist Party indoctrinating kids that you have to go to college. You have to get a college education. Well, that's okay. You will go to college. And so you amass $100,000 in debt. Your parents will pay for it. And you know what? We'll give you a student loan, and now we'll talk about forgiving it. We'll forgive you. We'll forgive it. In the meantime, you've got colleges and universities around the United States who are charging these kids and these families an exorbitant amount for tuition. And like you said, you've got these provosts and professors all making, you know, high six figures or mid six figures.
I don't know. And then you have the FBI calling parents domestic terrorists.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and Merrick Garland lies about it to boot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Panorama Education was co-founded by U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland's son-in-law and they've contracted with 23,000 public schools and raised $76 million from investors. And this Merrick Garland's calling parents domestic terrorists. Meanwhile, that's just corruption right there. Because you're talking about the cost for public schools. You got on the federal level, but yeah, you get into the states and it gets even larger. And then the states, if you look at your property tax bill, you're going to see a big chunk of your property taxes going to public education.
Exactly.
So they get more of your money. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's just another reason why Glenn Youngkin should be elected governor of Virginia. You know, when you have Merrick Garland, you know, head of the Attorney General, head of the Justice Department, who instructs the FBI to investigate parents who are pushing back on critical race theory and actually demanding that elected officials and school boards, okay, that they be held accountable for what is being taught to their children, not indoctrinated. And then you have the Attorney General having the audacity to call American citizens domestic terrorists, parents of children. But this is the mentality of Terry McAuliffe. Terry McAuliffe espouses the same mentality as the radical Merrick Garland does, because Terry McAuliffe told parents to sit down and shut up. You don't tell the school board what to teach your children. And it's exactly what Merrick Garland did. You want to, you know, you're rejecting critical race theory. You have the audacity to reject that?
Well, get a load of this. Garland's son-in-law, Zan Tanner, he's the co-founder, board member, and president from 2012 to 2020 of Panorama Education. Now, here's what Panorama Education does. And remember that $76 million number, which is just huge? Well,
yeah.
What they do is they sell surveys to school districts across the country that focus on the local, quote, social and emotion climate, whatever the hell that is. Now, these surveys are then used as justification for new curriculum from other providers that some parents call critical race theory and find objectionable. So the parents that are complaining to their school board members about critical race theory is exactly what Garland's son-in-law, that's what his business does, is they find markets where critical race theory will go and work or not work. Even if it doesn't work, you're still going to find the social and emotion climate. What the F does that mean? Do you have a social and emotion climate? I never knew that existed. I don't even know what the hell that means. Maybe someone can call in and explain to me what the hell social and emotion climate is, because I don't speak that language.
I think this might be an emotional climate right now that you're in. This might be.
I'm very upset.
My emotion
climate is rising.
Your emotional climate is that you've seen it. You've now picked up on a conflict of interest with the Attorney General of the United States, whose own family member is involved in education duping. I'm sorry, is involved in a progressive education that now he can't give a legitimate response to. And so, you know, Garland sits there and he lies about having to dispatch the FBI to investigate parents as domestic terrorists. Now, look, we don't espouse violence against teachers and certainly school board members. But when the school board intentionally shuts you down, and when you do find out what's being taught to your child, okay, and just because you're in the school board, you think it's okay. I don't want my 5-year-old child to learn about sex. It's not the place, the school. I want the school to teach my kid, or I expect it to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, and history. Okay, I would like for them to learn who all the presidents were. I will teach my child, okay, you know, the functions of government and history, but I also expect schools to do the same. I don't want this politically correct agenda to be taught to my children. It has no place. First of all, you've got these teachers who are biased. Okay? And they're not objective. And to sit there and to now you're talking about a conflict of interest with the Attorney General of the United States. How many times have we heard the term conflict of interest with when President Trump was in office? And suddenly it's okay that crackhead Hunter Biden is still dealing with China while his father is president of the United States. It's okay. Now it's okay that A.G. Garland is directing the FBI to investigate, have parents be deemed domestic terrorists because they actually challenge school boards. And you find out that his family, his son-in-law, is the co-founder of a left-wing organization. Social and emotional climate, Al. These surveys are then used as justification for new curriculum from other providers that some parents call critical race theory and find objectionable. Tanner's company has a large footprint with contracts in 50 plus of the nation's 100 largest school districts. So daddy-in-law is not going to challenge and do anything that would be detrimental to his daughter and son's livelihood, is he? Because he's not going to be objective, especially when it comes to conservatives. But you know what? We have a retired school teacher who can speak on this firsthand. And so we got Paul Sutliff of the Sutlifian Report, who's also the author of the new book, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. And you can hear Paul right here on Global Patriot Radio Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Good evening. How are you?
Pretty good. Now, these stupid tests, I actually help parents, Christian parents all over the place, not to let their children take them. Because they ask things like, have you engaged in homosexual sex? Have you,
no.
When you have engaged in sex, do you use a condom? Things like that. It's extremely personal.
And what age? What age is
they ask the kids that or the parents?
The kids.
They're asking the kids. Now, this is in New York State, I think it's required throughout all New York State. And I look at this survey and, you know, they don't allow you to keep anything all disappears. You're not allowed to keep anything. But not even the teachers are allowed to. So they can't. And it's disgusting. And when some of the questions that are asked, I'm working with ninth graders. So you think about that. How old is a ninth grader? 14.
Oh, my God.
14, 15. And they're so our junior high kids taking this? I mean, they're supposed to have these surveys, like, you know, played down to younger ages. But they're asking such personal questions. I mean, how often do you know the lie test that they give when you go to, I mean, the test, there's a test they give when they want to see if you're going to be a good employee to tell it. They'll ask a question six different ways to find out if it's any good. That's how they do this test.
Really?
It's like taking a lie test to find out if you're lying about taking drugs, find out if you're lying about having sex. It's written that way.
Oh, my God. So you've seen this firsthand.
Out there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've seen several of them. Over 20 years I saw them. And it was just disgusting. I've told parents not to allow their children to have that, to take that test.
Can the kids
The only way to opt out is you can call the school and demand it, but you know what? Nothing's going to happen that way. The best thing is if you know that test is being done, you can call and ask when it's being done and keep your kids home. I'm sorry. It's like an hour-long test. It's usually given, at least in my area, it was always given in the social studies classroom. And it's just disgusting.
Wow.
It is nothing but a filthy – I mean, so many questions about sex, so many questions about drugs. I mean, they're asking about at-risk behavior. Of course, if you're engaging in sex before you're married, that is at-risk behavior. If you're engaging in sex before you are old enough to understand what puberty really is, yeah, you're definitely an at-risk behavior. But that's – And they say that this I think they're right. They use this to push their agenda. They've been able to push the LGBTQ agenda into schools because of it. Well, people are at risk. Well, you know what? The truth of the matter, which will really piss people off about, you can go and ask any pastor, any, I would say 99, any biblical pastor, any, you can go and talk to most every Jewish rabbi. One of the number one reasons, for homosexuality, and I, having counseled, every person I counseled that was homosexual had one thing in common. Every male, I should say. They were sexually molested by a man at a young age.
Oh.
Every single one. Every single one that I counseled. Now, the women were sexually molested by a man.
How often did
single
you find that?
Woman. 100%. That's what I found. There are sometimes women experiment, but that's not the case with the men. And that's what I found. I actually counseled a man who had been, who had raped a child, and that child ended up raping another child. And that guy called me and cried and cried and cried. And, you know, the guy who had, like, he says he started this. I'm like, this is the reason why people don't talk about this. In fact, the biggest problem is when they start to say they're, you know, forming groups to promote, you know, to take care of at-risk behavior, they won't address that one, that big lion in the room that they're afraid, elephant in the room, they're afraid to talk about it. In fact, the guidance counselors who have, you know, they have an agenda of dealing with homosexual or what they call sexual confusion, gender confusion, they won't talk about it. In fact, I've actually asked a counselor when she decided she was going to run a gender confusion class. I says, are you going to talk about, are you going to report all the cases of sexual abuse? She says, what are you talking about? There are several hundred social work journals out there with professional articles written that show that the vast majority of any, I mean, we're talking about 80, I think it's like the number was 70 to 85%, and this is back in the 1990s, that 70 to 85% of all homosexuals have been sexually molested. In fact, that was until 1984, people. Until 1984, homosexuality was listed as a symptom of sexual abuse. And that was in the DSM-3. That was the that's how you diagnose mental illness. It was listed in there. And I know the year because that's the year I started working for the state and we were being trained that they were taking it out.
Wow. And now it's normalized.
Yeah.
And not,
yes,
more than normalized,
it's normal,
it's championed.
Now.
It's championed.
Yeah. So it's,
now we have a cross-dressing
so promotion of,
four-star
yeah.
admiral, for crying out loud.
Oh, no, no. That's not a four-star general. That's a or admiral. He's a four-star wuss and should not
yeah,
be allowed to wear a uniform.
Agreed.
He should not
be
allowed to wear anything.
Stop it. Don't be a hater.
We'll
I'm not
a hater.
This guy has this – coming out and doing this thing, he has violated military code of justice by doing that.
What,
unless they have changed it. All of it. Yeah. Are you talking about the health person isn't a four-star general, right?
Yeah,
four-star
yeah,
admiral.
He was just promoted to a four-star admiral and the first cross-dressing first-star admiral. I don't know if you might have missed it. I don't use trans anymore. It's cross-dresser. So just wanted to clue you in.
I just refuse to call that a woman. I mean, too ugly, and we are not stupid, and we are not liars. That's what it comes down to. If you want to be a liar, you can call him a trans. I think you have to tell the truth. It's still a man. He thinks he's a woman. He has mental health issues. And he needs help. And somebody who needs mental health issues should not be in charge of health.
No. Maybe he just needs a hug, Paul.
Needs a hug.
Needs a hug.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, this is, and they're not talking about this. These are facts. They've been written up in several hundred social work and journal. I mean, we're talking professional journals. This is in there. But
so, would you say that this is all a? Is this all a way to, like, if you were a communist or Marxist spy and you wanted to really, or Chinese spy and you wanted to impact our culture and weaken our culture, this would be something that I would be promoting.
I think it's a best. I think it's a. It all has to do with sin. I'm not going to say it's a communist agenda thing. I think it has to do with sin. If you want to destroy a culture, you promote sin, and that is that's what you do. I mean, this cultures die when sin like this is promoted. It destroys the family.
That's what the Democrat Communist Party has done, haven't they? They took God out of the country, and they destroyed the family. First, they destroyed the black family. They separated the parents. They took the father out of the family. Then they supplanted the father with welfare. They created a welfare state. Not all, but they did. And they made a dependency. And now what do we have with the Democrat Communist Party? They're taking the family out of the unit.
It gets better. In New York State, at the very least, I'm guessing this happens in other states, that they have promoted children having babies out of wedlock, because what they would do is they would offer a 16-year-old, all a kid has to say is, I can't live at home. And if they're pregnant, the state gives them an apartment. Hmm. So that's how your pregnant women get their first apartment, teenagers.
Messed up. I tell you, this is out of Willard Skousen's The Naked Communist. And he lays it out for you in that, is how to ruin a culture. The Naked Communist.
Yes. I haven't read that one. I've got a few others I'm working on. Yeah. Some of this stuff is too shocking.
Back real quick to Panorama. I did find out that New York State school districts, there are 30 New York school districts that paid $12.1 million to Panorama. The largest payment came from New York City Public Schools with approximately $10.5 million in contracts. So, yes, the state of New York is actively engaged with Panorama. Also, you'll be happy to know that some of the supporters of Panorama, which now we know that Merrick Garland has a conflict of interest, includes, now I know you guys are, I don't want to be controversial here, but it does include Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. Now, who is Chan Zuckerberg? She is the wife. It's owned by Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, and his wife, Priscilla Chan. See?
Oh, she changed her name.
Chan is Mark Zuckerberg's wife. So not only did they give over $400 million to the Democrat Communist Party to sway the 2020 elections, but they're there actively seeking to implement critical race theory and corrupt the minds of kids in schools. And Merrick Garland's family is deeply involved in this.
As a Christian, I can't tell anybody to put their kids in a public school because of this. And in New York State, they're actually attempting to require it of all private school critical race theory. They're actually trying to pass legislation to do that. And I don't know if they're – I mean, again, I'm aware of what they're doing here in New York State. There's actual attempts to make a law to require – yeah, and to push the gay agenda in private schools. So your Christian school, your Jewish school, your whatever, would be required to promote, the homosexual agenda would be required to promote, if you're born white, you're just a racist, and if you're born anything else, you're suffering. You're an oppressed person. And that's what they're – it's actually – I mean, it's required now for every school. And the deal here, what a lot of schools did in New York State, school districts did, they simply had tied it all to their state funding. If you didn't subscribe to it, you didn't get state funding.
Well, that's
and
interesting because they had a, they
had
a beast on MSNBC who stated it's absolutely false accusation to claim that critical race theory is being taught in schools.
Oh, it
she
is.
Said
it's
that.
Taught. I mean, and I what they have done is they're changing the terminology. They're calling it inclusive inclusion, diversity, inclusion, and equity. When you see those three words, in there's an agenda. They are what you can do is look at your go to your state education site, and you look for those three words that spell out DIE, diversity, inclusion, and equity. I mean, they don't usually say DIE, and you will find it. It is scary.
Wow. Diversity, inclusion, and equity.
Yeah. They want to make sure all of your. I actually edited a book that was sent to personnel departments, or was supposed to be sent to personnel departments, the most racist book I have ever read. In fact, I wrote back to the author. I said, if you attempted to put this in a personnel department, if a human resources person interviewed somebody or somebody saw this book and they knew that there was such racist material, that a human resources person would be fired.
And what kind of response did you get back?
None.
None.
I got paid for my job, but yeah. I would have changed a whole lot. But, yeah, that's – this stuff is so dangerous. It's purposeful intention is to create racists. It is not an anti-racist agenda. It is incredibly racist. And you know what kills me is it's not just racist against white people. It's really disgustingly racist against black people as well. And – any other kind of race. It's very, very biased. I've never, you know, I taught for 20 years. I'm 57 now, and I have never seen more racist material than I have in critical race theory type material.
Mm-mm.
Never.
Everybody's a victim. Everybody's a racist.
Well, against white people.
No. You're only a
target.
Victim if you're only white. You're only a victim if you're not white.
Correct. Yeah, sorry. Every non-white is a victim. That's right. Of white supremacy and white nationalism.
So that makes all Arabs, this is the truth about it, and the people don't catch this, that makes all Arabs oppressors.
Oh.
When you think about it. Following that direction, all Arabs are oppressors.
Well, that could be deemed being Islamophobic by making a statement like that.
Hey, I didn't. Yeah, but that's the thing we could start pointing out. Oh, so, okay. Then if they're just going to say all Europe, well, they try to say Europeans, well, you know, there are black Europeans, people, unless you are racist and forgot that. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I can say my family came over on the second Mayflower. That doesn't make me racist. It just makes me a person who understands my history. No. Yeah.
Not according to this critical race theory, because you may not even be aware of it, but it's part of your DNA, so you're guilty regardless.
That's the scary, scary part of this stuff, and that's the – they're always talking about unconscious bias.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you write a professional paper, you write a – something for a peer review journal. You're supposed to discuss your bias, but they never do that when they write this. And that's the stuff that should bother everybody the most. They never talk about their own bias. The big authors of the people who wrote this, they claim they are racist. So it, I like I interviewed Dr. Michael Vanyakov, and you know what he says about it? He says that these people can't deal with their own racism, so they define everybody as being racist.
Well, critical race theory is an intellectual movement and a framework of legal analysis according to which, one, race is a culturally invented category used to oppress people of color, and two, the law and legal institutions in the United States are inherently racist insofar as they function to create and maintain social, political, and economic inequalities between white and non-white people.
So what you say to somebody like that is, then why did the guy you called a racist president have the lowest unemployment rate of for black people and Hispanic people in the history of the country? If you really believe that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, put it back on them. thank you. Y'all have a good
day. Well,
they
call Trump Orange Man, and that's racist to Syracuse fans.
That's
no
right.
One get that. That was a limited audience joke, so don't feel bad if you didn't get it.
Well, if you're from this part of the world,
as long as
you
got
some...
it, Paul, nothing else matters. Screw everybody else.
You have a great night. I'm going to keep listening.
Thank you. I got more.
All right, Paul, you take care of yourself. It's Paul Sutliff. He is on Thursday evenings right here on Global Patriot Radio, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, the Sutliffian Report. He's also the author of his new book, The Cancer of Civilization, Jihad. Yeah, I find it interesting, Al, that the Zuckerbergs are in deep up to their ankles with Panorama. And now Merrick Garland, who is the Attorney General of the United States, has a conflict of interest, and he's not made to answer for it. And you see, I think still part of it is that Merrick Garland is still pissed off that he never made it to the bench of the Supreme Court. So he's actually just taking it on everybody. And the conflict of interest, it doesn't exist any longer. Now that bumbling Biden's in, there is no such thing as conflict of interest. And of course, only when the left wing, when the Democrat Communist Party is in power, many of these things don't count anymore, like conflict of interest, like thievery, like lying to Congress. I mean, you know, all of that is just it's part of their DNA. I mean, I think you're right.
Huh? In the real world, he should have recused himself.
Right.
He should have brought it up in front of Congress and said, hey, I've got this connection with my son-in-law, so I need to recuse myself from this and then have somebody else come in. So everybody.
Yeah, so Forbes runs with the story, okay? So Forbes actually points out that Attorney General Merrick Garland's son-in-law, Zan Tanner, whose father, I think, was Dan Tanner, and mother was Rosanna Dana Tanner. So Garland's son-in-law, Zan Tanner, is a co-founder and a board member, and he was president of Panorama Education. And Panorama Education goes around and indoctrinates on social and emotional climate, critical race theory, and they are funding they are going around the United States and school districts. They're funded by Emerson Collection, Spark Capital, Owl Ventures, Soft Tech VC, and the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan, are deeply involved in the Democrat Communist Party. And we know that the fascists of Facebook now have also censored Americans. They have censored, hello, yes, you're on the air. Hello, how you doing? Is this Chan? Is this Priscilla Chan? How you do? So we know that the left wing has indoctrinated children. The left wing, led by Zuckerberg's in Facebook, have squashed conservatives. They have, the fascists at Facebook have silenced free speech. They have silenced conservatives, and they are the bastion of speech. And the Zuckerbergs gave in excess of $350 million to the Democrat Communist Party to elect left wing radicals, anti-American radicals to Congress. And also, you know, you've got bumbling Biden's campaign that they had given to. So Zuckerberg has an agenda, or I should say the Zuckerbergs have an agenda, and it is not capitalism. It's not free enterprise. It's not pro-American. It's critical race theory. It's the left-wing anti-American agenda. And it's time that we start calling it that, because that's exactly what these people do, whether it's mini Mike Bloomberg, who admitted during the Democrat National Party debates that he spent $60 million of his own money to give Nancy Pelosi the majority in 2018. So mini Mike Bloomberg, with Bloomberg News, was partially responsible for having Nancy Pelosi being installed as a Speaker of the House. And we know what kind of a disaster she has been. So, you know, can you conclude or deduce that mini Mike Bloomberg is somewhat anti-American? Yeah, he's anti-constitutional. You know, he hides behind the First Amendment freedom of the press. In the meantime, he sought to undermine the President of the United States and the American people. And it's really sad and it's sickening that these left-wing elitists are giving that much money to change our country, to change our Constitution. The First Amendment of the United States Constitution is really clear. There are five components of that. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Prohibiting the free exercise of religion. And that's what the left wing does in America. That's what the left wing is doing in America. They're prohibiting the free exercise of religion. Abridging the freedom of speech. Freedom of speech has been abridged in America. It's being abridged every day, each and every day, by the left-wing social outlets who hide behind their policies while they intentionally skew numbers. Whether it's the fascists of Facebook or the fascists of Twitter who decide what speech is acceptable. Just ask the New York Post. Freedom of the press. Freedom of the press. The New York Post, the oldest media in the United States, the oldest newspaper in the United States. And they were silenced by Twitter. Why? Because they were printing stories and releasing stories about crackhead Hunter Biden, that piece of scumbag, okay, who you know, Joe Biden should be held accountable for. And we find out the sordid activities and the sordid deals that crackhead Hunter was involved in with the blessings of the big man, and how the big man facilitated these big deals, whether it was with China or Ukraine energy or Ukrainian government. And you've got social media silencing free speech and freedom of the press in America. And then you see this, how Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan are giving to these left-wing causes to the tune of $16 million plus some, and then $350 million to the Democrat Communist Party. How about the right to peacefully assemble? That's being abridged by the left-wing in America. Oh, we'll tell you if you can gather for 4th of July. We'll tell you if you can gather for Thanksgiving. You may not be able to gather for Christmas. So you're abridging my freedom of religion, and you're abridging my ability to the people to peaceably assemble. And then, of course, if you even dare, if you live in Virginia and you dare to petition the government for grievances, you're right away, you're put on the Attorney General's hit list and deemed a domestic terrorist. All five components of the U.S. Constitution are being abridged by today's left wing, what they call the Democrat Communist Party. That's what they are. They are the Democrat Communist Party. They are the socialists. They are the Nazis. They are intolerant of free speech. And if they can't debate you on a particular subject, then they start name calling, as Audrey Russo found out today, being called the C word because some imbecile on the left couldn't debate her. So because she made such a great point, Audrey Russo, the left wing lunatic decided to call her names. and call her a vile name. Now, that person's Twitter account won't be suspended because it's a left-winger who attacked a conservative, and that's perfectly fine with the fascists of Facebook and the fascists of Twitter. It's okay to abridge the conservative, the Republican, the right wing's freedom of speech, freedom of religion. It's okay. It's okay to threaten if you dare to petition the government for a redress of grievances, which is happening in school boards around the country and including Virginia. Parents are rejecting this critical race theory, and rightly so. This is not America. This is not American. I don't want my 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old child learning about sex from some imbecile left-wing teacher in school. Your job is to teach my kid reading, writing, arithmetic. Throw in a little history, will you? Not the history that Christopher Columbus was a bad man or Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. Screw the left wing. And it's time that we fight back on this stuff. Enough's enough. Well, you know, we just can't get our message out. Well, we're going to find a way to get the message out. And we're doing it right now. Reject this radical, this anti-American, this anti-constitutional movement. The left wing does not dictate policy in America. They may think so, and it's time that we fight back against the institution. The corrupt cabal in Washington, D.C. has to go. The first place we can do it peaceably is at the ballot box. And that's where the left wing is really, really sweating right now. That's why every piece of legislation that's coming down from these left-wing lunatics is to make everything racist if you change the voting rules and regulations. If you require IDs of individuals to show who they are. You want to cash your paycheck at a bank? Show me who you are. Let me see your driver's license. Let me see a utility bill to show where you live. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to get into the Democrat Communist National Convention, you have to show an ID. You got to prove that you're Vito Esposito. We don't want you at the Democrat Communist Party Convention. You don't espouse the Democrat Communist Party rules. Well, how did you know it was me? Because you have to show proof that who you are. Oh, but I don't have to show proof to vote? No, just bring your ballots down, ballots. Okay? If you want to vote in person, you vote in person. You want to vote, and we encourage you to vote by mail and then come down and vote in person. I mean, this is insane. This is third world country tactics. And this is what the left wing wants. They want to bankrupt America with their social and their phony programs like the Green New Deal scam. Confiscate wealth of America and Americans. To fund the rest of the world with this climate change scheme, scam is what it is. And then you've got these wealthy socialites, these billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan, or mini Mike Bloomberg, spending hundreds of millions of dollars to elect more left-wing agendas, or the Bill Gates buying up property in the United States and also, you know, curtailing farming in the United States and passing or shoving down our throats these vaccines and gene therapies. Suddenly, Bill Gates is some sort of doctor who's been whoring around on his wife for 20 years and finally gets a divorce, and now he's some fucking genius out there. I got to give him props for you know, inventing Microsoft or coming up with that. But that doesn't mean that he's a doctor or he knows about the coronavirus. And your agenda has been proactive in curtailing, you know, population control around the world. Oh, well, if you bring that up, Vito, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, you know what? It's about damn time it is brought up and it's put in the open. The left-wing lunatics can start shoving down critical race theory in our throats. We have to somehow take that? You have to wear a mask everywhere you go? Oh, well, let's see. If you get vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. If you get the China virus and you have the antibodies, you don't need to wear a mask. And now we know you have to wear a mask. Now, not only do you have to wear a mask after getting the gene therapy, you have to go for your booster gene therapy. And you still can't wear a mask. And then if you dare start saying, let's go Brandon, and you chant some guy's name at a race, you know, at a NASCAR race, you know, fuck Joe Biden, and now it's, you know, let's go Brandon. That's being reinterpreted. I mean, it's just, yeah, I see Boy and Golf Dogs put it in the chat room, let's go Brandon. Yeah, this, Al, we are being duped on so many levels, and some of it, we have to take it, and we don't have to take it anymore. Enough is enough. We don't have to take it, and we don't need to sit back anymore and be contrite and be like little and say, okay, you know, tell us what you want us to think. That's over. It's done. In 9 short months, the lunatic left wing has tried to dictate policy. They've rescinded everything positive that President Trump did for America, not for President Trump's own interests, for America. Energy independence, first and foremost. Americans knew first and foremost where we sat with regards to energy independence. And from January 20th, 2021 to today, October 25th, 2021, we've learned how energy dependence now has ruined our lives. It is confiscated money from our wallets, from our pocketbooks, from our household budgets. Just 10 months ago, it cost you $20 to fill up a 12-gallon tank. That's today, 10 months later. It costs $39 to fill up your tank. Now you tell me how $19 a fill up, if you're driving 5 days a week to your job, you're filling up your car at least once a week. That's $80 a month that's coming out of your household budget that you didn't plan for. Next week, you're going to start turning on your heat. Hell, Holger told me it was 32 degrees this morning. So now you're going to use heating oil if you live up north. 54% increase. 54% increase in heating oil, and it just begun. And this bubbling buffoon Biden sit there. Well, build America back better. Okay. Now you made us dependent upon foreign sources of oil once again when the United States was well on the path of energy independence. And matter of fact, you're buying oil from the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. How is that acceptable? California, $4.79 a gallon for gasoline. Thank you, Boy. Welcome. $4.79 a gallon for gasoline. This is all due to Biden's blunder. This is intentional. It is intentional what we are seeing. It didn't just happen overnight. The corrupt cabal in Washington, D.C. wanted Biden in place of Trump. They didn't like the idea of the American people being independent, where the American people were at work, a 3.4% unemployment rate, and Baghdad Bob Jensaki, who's supposed to be the best White House press secretary, has the audacity to say, well, the reason why gas prices have increased is because people are going back to work as the pandemic has receded. Well, Baghdad Bob Jensaki, why don't you explain to us how in 2019 the unemployment rate was 3.4%. The economy was rolling along and we were paying $1.89 a gallon. We were using gas back then. We were driving our vehicles. We were driving our gas hogs. We were driving our motorcycles. We were driving our jet skis. We were driving our boats. America was working. It was a well-oiled machine. And gas was $1.89 a gallon. I mean, we're being duped by these liars and frauds in Washington, D.C. $4.79 a gallon for gasoline in California. 54% increase in fuel oil, heating oil up north. 54%. PM texted me. They just filled their oil tank for the first part of the winter. 54% increase. They didn't see that coming. It busted their budget. And that's what Bring It Back America does. It busts your budget. It breaks your bank. It breaks your back, and it makes you dependent upon the federal government once again. The same old, tired, failed progressive policies are being put back in place and put back in place by a buffoon named Biden, a corrupt man, the Biden crime family. And the DNC media has covered for this buffoon and his lying family. Maybe I'll become an artist, Al, and maybe I can sell my paintings for $500,000, huh? And I can sign a GPRVE.
You got to go to rehab first, then
I'll
get out
to that.
And sell your art.
Yeah,
rehab.
You.
Commit yourself.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want you to commit yourself. it's incredible. And Merrick Garland, going back to him real quick, Merrick Garland sits there in front of the House and the Senate, and he testifies, and he just freaking lied. He lied about the mission of – he's the one that sent the memo to treat parents as domestic terrorists. He sent the memo. And until you said something about Panorama, or Paul said something about Panorama, I didn't realize that it was Garland's son-in-law. Wait, what the hell's going on here? That is an absolute conflict of interest. Where is Congress on this? Congress should have uncovered this, and it should have been front page. But somehow, we've got these people who are abrogating their responsibility, all in the name of progressivism, all in the name of Marxism. Zan Tanner, the son of Dan Tanner, whose mother is Rosanna Dana Tanner. You know, we finally figured out where it all came from. It's all starting to come together now. Boy, the cabal in Washington, D.C., it runs deep. It's sordid as hell. And there's no accountability whatsoever. In the meantime, you've got that bozo Obama going around talking about how the right wing is making up these theories and these conspiracy theories. Bullshit. He's the chief Marxist. He's the chief liar. What an arrogant SOB. And, of course, nobody's going to challenge him. In the meantime, the people of Virginia now are faced with the prospect of having a Clintonite, a chief liar, Terry McAuliffe, you know, reelected as their governor. And he's told the parents of Virginia to sit down and shut up. You don't tell the state of Virginia Department of Education what to teach your kids. Excuse me? I know your former boss believed that it takes a village to raise a child, but you don't tell me that I can't redress my government for grievances. It's not your job to teach sex to my child. It's not your job to teach critical race theory and to berate the president of the United States of America, to berate the United States of America, to say that because you live in the United States and you're white, you're a racist. That should not be tolerated. And, you know, thank God parents are speaking out. But then you have, you know, you have radicals like Merrick Garland who are going to squash that. Are told by the powers that be to squash this. Squash it. Threaten Americans. Threaten them. You're a domestic terrorist. God.
Well, Merrick Garland also has another problem.
Uh-oh.
Representative Thomas Massie questioned him. He questioned the attorney general during the last, within the last 48 hours at the hearings. He questioned Attorney General Garland about whether there were federal agents present on January 6th and whether they agitated to go into the Capitol, agitated others to go into the Capitol. Garland refused to answer. Well, pictures have popped up with a man by the name of Ray Epps, who is instructing protesters to enter the U.S. Capitol on January 5th and 6th, and who later shepherded crowds towards the Capitol on January 6th. And it's believed that Ray Epps was a provocateur for the U.S. government, and Attorney General Garland refused to answer, so he must have known something about it. He should have just pled the fifth. But this shows a massive undertaking by the government who, I mean, I don't – just because somebody tells you to do something does not mean that you do it.
Right.
And any idiot that broke into the Capitol and damaged property, they deserve whatever they get. But for government officials to lead people in that direction, they are accessories, and they should lose their jobs, be fired, be outed, and not be protected by the Attorney General like what is happening now.
You see, that's an interesting revelation that's come about, and it's not getting any play in what's perceived to be or the so-called mainstream news media. That's absolutely been buried. That story has been spiked, including spiked by the Zuckerbergs and the Jack Dorseys on Twitter. But that's really important, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's been out for 4 days. And, yeah, it has been spiked because you haven't heard about it. It's not like this is new breaking news. This is old news.
Well, it's also important because you have people who have been arrested for being at the Capitol, being inside the Capitol, who still have not been given a speedy trial. Their, what, Fourth Amendment, their Fifth Amendment has been violated. They're still incarcerated. And now it turns out that a revelation comes out that it may have been the government, the federal government, may have employed people like this Ray Epps to incite people to breach the U.S. Capitol, to enter the U.S. Capitol, which also explains why the Capitol Police stepped aside and opened up barriers to let people in. So now you've got this Ray Epps who's enticing people to come in, which then now leads to the point where Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Party created, manufactured, and led a cause to undermine President Trump's presidency. And each and every day now, we see what Pelosi and company in lying and manufacturing stories, manufacturing charges against President Trump. I mean, how is it that you have on video this individual, Ray Epps, who it's clear that he's inciting people to go into the Capitol. And now it appears that he was a federal government operative. Was he employed by Speaker Pelosi? Was he employed by the Capitol Police? Was he employed by the Justice Department? Who was he employed by? Who was he representing? That also then goes to when Nancy Pelosi saw that President Trump was making inroads with the Ukrainian government to find out how corrupt Joe Biden, then Vice President of the United States, was with regards to Ukraine energy. She quickly sought to squash that and then changed the narrative to President Trump having engaged in a quid pro quo when in fact he did not. And she sought to silence him for having the audacity to expose what happened in Ukraine and getting the special prosecutor fired, because in bumbling Biden's own words, he got a special prosecutor fired from Burisma, and he bragged about it. And that was when the Democrat Party machine went into full damage control mode, because it also indicted Barack Hussein Sator Obama. Not only that, the dots, you could start connecting the dots, because Nancy Pelosi's son Paul was involved with Ukraine energy. John Kerry's stepson, Chris Hines, was involved in Ukraine. And it's come to light that Mitt Romney's daughter was involved with Ukrainian energy. So there was a strong domino effect from those that were indentured from that corrupt cabal in Washington, D.C., had their hands in Ukrainian energy. So it wasn't the fact that it was just crackhead Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family, but the tentacles also led to four others. Now, to Chris Hines' and I will say this, I give a disclaimer here, to Chris Hines' credit, when he saw that there was some irregularities with the Ukrainian oil deal, he kind of stepped aside, but he was still involved. John Kerry still had his hands in it. So, you know, you sit here and you see exactly what's going on with the January 6th issue and how the Democrat Party is so intent on calling it an insurrection when in fact it was not an insurrection. And as time continues to go on, the truth is starting to slowly trickle out. Who is Ray Epps? The Capitol Police removed barriers. Nancy Pelosi was in charge of the police. Why wasn't the National Guard called in? And all of this also starts surfacing. And then the question comes to light, Al, is why has the buffoon Biden kept the fence around Washington, D.C.? Mm-hmm. Why? Why? And no one talks about that. You know, walls don't work. And yet the buffoon Biden still has a fence around Washington, D.C. And Bigfoot actually brings up another good point with regards to Burisma. Speaking of Burisma, I would love to have a job in a field I have no experience in and a country whose language I don't speak. Now, Bigfoot, that sounds a bit cynical. I mean, certainly, there had to be something that crackhead Hunter Biden had in common with Burisma. There had to be something. Oh, I'm sorry. It was his father being vice president of the United States and taking $50,000 a month from his son and evading U.S. law. That was kind of dumb. Go ahead, Al.
Hey, 10% off the top to the big guy.
Yeah, to the big guy. To the big guy. And where's the outrage, huh? Where is the outrage by the supposed pious purity in Congress, huh? They're so worried about corruption. They're so worried about the rule of law. They give us these slogans and sound bites, the rule of law. You know, that's what Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and his communist movement, the rule of law. They didn't give a crap about the rule of law. They abused not only the American people, but they abused the rule of law, and they did it without impunity. And now we have a situation where it looks like somebody inside of the D.C. cabal may have been involved in the January 6th movement. And it wasn't Donald Trump inciting to violence. No. The cabal could have been, again, with the Justice Department. I don't get tired. You know what? I'm not tired of talking about it, about the Justice Department, about what was done. Because when I take a look at what's happened since 2016, when you take a look and you realize that there's over 10,000 pages of correspondence between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok from the Obama-Biden Justice Department, FBI, from the FBI that sought to undermine candidate Trump, a candidate for a major party. And that's important because that was the terminology used, okay, when they tried to indict President Trump and state that he was going after a bumbling Joe Biden, you know, a candidate for political office. But they actually did it. The Obama Biden White House did it. 10,000 pages. And in those pages were ways to undermine candidate Trump, to undermine President-elect Trump, to undermine President Trump. And then you saw the Jerry Nadler manifesto, a six-page manifesto, how to defeat Trump and his radical agenda. And it was one attack after another from January 20, 2017. One attack after another. And then reality sets in. You've got Joe Biden being installed on January 20, 2021, and he fucks up Afghanistan. 13 soldiers dead, and now Afghanistan's an afterthought. It's an afterthought. We lose Bagram Air Force, the air base, which was a strategic base in Afghanistan. The Afghan army falls within 48 hours, and the bumbling Biden administration, planned for all contingencies, except they didn't see the Afghan army collapsing. U.S. energy prices soar through the roof. What's oil today? $83, $84 a barrel? $4.79 a gallon in California? $3.30 a gallon in Florida? $3.60 a gallon in New York? And they have the audacity to proclaim that more people are back to work, and they're absolutely flat-out lying. They're lying to the American people. But that's who they are. That's who the Democrat Communist Party is. They're nothing but liars, cheats, and scammers. Well, holy cow. Really? got 4 minutes left. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, all good. And it's all interconnecting directorates. Every one of them are connected in one form or another, one degree or another. And it's how the Marxists operate. And they're very good at what they're doing. And then Facebook, they even changed their algorithms in order to keep Stop the Steal and other news that was helpful to President Trump out of the public conversation, including Twitter.
So that could be deemed a climate. That might be an emotional climate. Or would it be that would be a social climate. There you go.
Mm. Critical Facebook theory.
I'm going to find out what social and emotional climate is for you for next week. That's my homework for the week.
Well, good luck. And I would never want to inflict that on my worst enemy. You are a team player.
Thank you very least. I'd appreciate that. Hey, what you will appreciate, actually, is tomorrow night we've got Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross and the Crescent, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday, we got Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll be talking college football, I am sure. Thursday, you got Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report, and he's also the author of Cancer of the Civilization Jihad, which you can purchase at Amazon.com. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday with Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christie, revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan's back with the Cross and the Crescent, the interfaith dialogue, the real interfaith dialogue. I'll tell you, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then, of course, on Monday, we have some great hosts on Islam. If you want to understand Islam and Christianity, if you want to understand the true Islam, you know, Osama Dakduk, Andrew Harrod, Eric from Kafiristan, and certainly Paul. Sutliff has spent a lot of time and effort and has done some great work, so I encourage you to listen to the Global Patriot Radio hosts and shows. And Monday, Alan and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check out the G-Ski and Dave Show on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Airwaves America. Dave, keep G-Ski in your thoughts and your prayers, please. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Fridays, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you, Annie. I know she's in the room, but thank you for allowing me to co-host your show on Friday. Chief Simple Facts of Life, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Simone Nicole Show, great show if you want to get away from politics and the Islamic movement. You can go to Simone Nicole, great self-help show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. And Audrey Russo, Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays at AudreyRusso.com. She has some great guests as well, so check out Audrey's show. She does a great job. And follow us on Facebook and like us on Twitter. Hash Brown, G Patriot Radio, Hash Brown, Mama Mia, no Sharia. Al, any parting words?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next week, and thanks for listening.
I didn't know you spoke Spanish.
Si, senor. I learned it over
the
border.
Wow. You can pass for an illegal alien.
I'm your sister.
Hey, thank you folks for joining us this evening. Hey, go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. Enjoy it. Read it every day. Encourage you to read it as well. So you guys be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Yes, it was mine.
That's all, folks.
Down to the second.
That one I was prepared for.
Great job.
Hey, sorry for co-opting the time. I didn't realize that it got away from us. Whoa.
No, wow, it was a good rant. Very good rant. So true. Everything's so fucked up.
It is. It is. It just, you know, and we're supposed to accept it. We're supposed to sit back and take all this. And then you, what a great find on Panorama. I had no idea. And you know what? Americans have no idea how what conflict of interest that Merrick Garland is engaged in. How could he not recuse himself from anything to do with the education and critical race theory, except he doubled down on it. He dispatched the FBI to deem Americans to be a domestic terrorist if they confront.
Yeah.
That's a damn conflict of interest.
That's parents who care about their children who are going to the school board meetings because they care about their children. And it used to be that so few parents cared about what the school was. That was just a dumping ground for the kids. And you got parents that actually care about the kids going to the school board meetings, and now they got the guts to call them domestic terrorists. I mean, that's disgusting. These are parents. These are parents who pay property taxes 9 times out of 10. To pay for the damn school to begin with.
And all they were doing was exercising their constitutional right. And what is it? The right to redress your government of grievances. They were redressing their government. The education departments that they were redressing, the school boards that they were redressing, are governmental entities. The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution state to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And that's why I continue to say that the Biden-Harris administration are anti-constitutional. They are abridging the right to free speech. They are abridging the right to redress your government for grievances. And we should be outraged as Americans that the president of the United States would have his Hitler types going out there and intimidating, using Gestapo tactics to intimidate Americans from redressing the government for grievances. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, chilling free speech.
Right.
And I've been,
and you're right.
I've spoken in front of a few school boards, and it's a one-way conversation. In my case, you're given 3 minutes to speak on a timer on whatever topic you want to talk about. And then there was no feedback. It was just a monologue. You speak, they listen, next person, please.
You know, and when you started speaking about, what, back in 2007, 8, 9, I distinctly remember that, oh, well, just people just don't get engaged. Parents just don't care. Well, now, as you said and rightly said, parents now are caring. They are starting to care, and they are making their voices known, and they're making them loud. And suddenly, that's considered domestic terrorists because they care. They care about what's being taught to their children. And just 10 years ago, you were told, well, you know, people don't care. You're just wasting your time. Parents don't care.
Well, and we got this pandemic to thank for it, because now all of a sudden with all this home schooling on Zoom, parents are stuck at home too, so they're seeing what their kids are being taught, and that's what caused all this agenda, was that the parents saw the crap that they were teaching their kids, and they got upset. They said, no, we don't like that, so they started going to the meetings, because they became knowledgeable about what they were teaching their kids.
And so one thing backfired with regards to the plandemic. And that's the education, which was co-opted by the left wing in America, which they thought they had an untapped resource, and they had an open, you know, an open checkbook to teach kids whatever they wanted to teach, and parents would never really object to it. And now it backfired.
Yeah. Well, it's a perfect system. I mean, if you've got a parent who's really engaged and involved, let's say in high school, and they become the kids become a sophomore and they start really looking at their curriculum that they're being taught, they get upset, and the parents really get in the face of the school board, it's only going to be for 2 years, because after 2 years, the kid graduates and goes to college and the parents go away with them.
Yeah.
So they don't really have to do anything because the kids are coming out in 4 years. So you get a few engaged parents, they're going to be gone in a year or two, so you just let them go. You ignore them, you lead them along, you tell them whatever they want to hear, and the next thing you know, they're gone. And I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. And it's it's troubling. It's disgusting to me.
And you're the bad guy.
Well, the parents were the bad guys. And,
right.
And the parents were the bad guys in all this.
Yeah,
and the
they
kid,
didn't take interest.
And then they ganged up on the kid. They ganged up on the kid who was pointing all this out. That was the worst part. Is now this kid saw how, well, he got an education on how the real world works, and it wasn't very pretty. And it was a shame because this was a really good kid, bright, engaged, and saw things happening. And then he saw how the parents reacted, how the school board reacted when he was showing them curriculum that was bad, that was wrong, and how he was treated and testing and all this other nonsense. The parents went after the kid. They tried to ruin his grades, which would affect him getting into college. We're talking some very mean academic bullying against a kid, against a high school kid. That to me was the worst. That they were
what
go
is
after
it?
The
it's
kid.
Cowardly. Because, you know, the one thing that school does is it teaches you to think in some ways, right? I mean, that's the idea, is to provoke thought. And then when you don't think inside their oppressive box, right away you're a radical, or, you know, you're an agitator, and they have the power to bully you. And that's what it turns out to be. It's nothing more than bullying.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop in high school. Same in college. If anything, it's worse in college because there you're paying a lot of money to be there. And if you want to go to get your master's or PhD, you got to get good grades in your undergraduate. And if you go against the professor, they have power of grading, and they can throw your whole academic career out of whack.
Yes, for sure.
So you've seen people get high on power.
Saw it firsthand.
Yeah. They're the worst. They get off.
It really is. Oh, it's just amazing. But you know what? It's good because you had an awakening too. You awaken to the fact that do you want to go down the road that and continue just to be passive and submit to these people? And the answer is no. I didn't. In my case. Hence, here we are.
Yep. And we just got tastes of it.
Yeah.
It's happening all over the country. But I think people are getting fed up with it, quite frankly.
Well, I think you nailed it, too.
A tipping point.
I think you nailed it with what really actually, and the unintended consequence is the pandemic actually forced parents to remain at home. And then the other part of it is it forced parents to see what their kids were actually learning. And then parents that really do care. I mean, look, their livelihood's important, and that's what, you know, unfortunately, that's what society, you know, requires. But then all of a sudden they see what their kids are being taught and what's being said and how they are supposed to think. I think, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want my kid learning this stuff. And then all of a sudden, parents become engaged, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. That's a silver lining, I suppose.
Yeah. All right. I got to go. I know you do as well. And so have a good evening. I'll speak to you sometime this week.
And, all right. Sounds good. Great show. And have a fantastic week.
Yeah, you as well. And you too, Sue. It's nice to see you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I know your mom is home, and I hope she's starting to feel better from COVID. And thank you, Sue, for taking time to join the show today. I really do appreciate that. I'm glad you're doing well. I got kind of concerned about you because I hadn't heard from you in a couple of days. So please take care of yourself. Blessings, Mama Mia. Hugs to you and your mom. All right, Al. I'll talk to you later. Have a good one.
All right. You too, Sue. Take care.